You've got credit questions? I've got answers. This is Jerry Detweiler, and you're listening to Talk Credit Radio. We're live every week and on the web 24/7 at talkcreditradio.com. Well, he's not even a real person, but he's already been a target of identity theft. Gaylord Fokker from the Fokker's movie fame, along with real actor Tommy Lee Jones and producer Tim Burton, they were both recently victims of an identity theft scam. An ex-convict and his partner were arrested on suspicion of identity theft and forgery in Glendale, California. Now, you may not be famous, but what can this example teach you about protecting yourself from identity theft? Brian McGinley, who was here last week, is back with me again. He's Senior Vice President of Data Risk Management for Identity Theft 911, and he's here to explain what happened and what it means to you. Welcome back, Brian.
Hey, Jerry. Great to be with you.
I'm looking at an article on credit.com. It's titled, This Little Fokker Went to Jail. And tell me about this case. What happened?
Well, Jerry, I think this is a great example of how your personal information can hit the street and get into hands of some of the lower echelon criminals, if you will. And, you know, in this case, it was some meth heads and black tar heroin users. And the report goes on, originally appeared in the L.A. Times. It goes on to talk about, you know, how the folks like Tommy Lee Jones and Tim Burton, that their identities were literally taken over, their identity cards that were issued, in names of various Hollywood victims, and they were lock, cocked, and ready to rock in terms of putting in fraudulent applications and different aspects like that.
Well, so these are celebrities. They're famous people, maybe easier targets. I don't know. What about the rest of us? I mean, what does this mean when something like this happens to someone famous? What do we have to think about?
Well, you know, I think it's a cute interest article, but the importance is it brings attention to the issue of fraud and identity theft. And I think the message here is that fraud's very prevalent, can happen to anyone. You know, and as a consumer, you really have to get beyond the denial stage of, gee, it can't happen to me, and get proactive about how you protect your personal information, your identity, and your financial assets.
Well, you have to explain to me, Brian, how is it possible for an identity thief to impersonate someone that famous? I mean, with, you know, people who are in the news and certainly in Southern California have to be well-known, or at least well-known of. Or then what about Gaylord Fokker? He's not even a real person. How can you impersonate someone like that?
Well, you know, celebrities go to great extents to shield themselves and protect their personal financial information. And this is really the situation where the practices, regardless of, you know, being somewhat robust, likely didn't protect the identities. And the same thing holds true to us, you know, us mere mortals, as it were, in terms of understanding that we've got to be very, very selective and stingy about, you know, who and why we provide personal information like names, social security number, date of birth in the first place, too.
Have you seen anything, Brian, about what kind of technology went into this particular scam?
Well, they had everything that they needed. They had a machine to be able to make ID cards, include things like driver's license, state ID cards, you know, the ability with the ability to emboss checks, create checks, the ability to be able to create fraudulent access cards. So, you know, and when you talk about access cards, they had over 200 access cards, which included things that can be converted readily into credit card, debit card, or ATM card.
So basically, they could do just about anything they wanted to with those identities.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's one of the phenomena that we're seeing now, is that, you know, you don't, virtually the access barriers to committing financial crime and committing some of these identity crimes have been removed. The technology itself is very accessible and low cost. You know, for the most part, you can walk into your nearest Best Buy and or go on the internet and get any type of computer or scanner, even the embosser cards. The embossing equipment to be able to create fraudulent credit cards and the like.
And that's just astonishing. But then we've also got the magnetic stripe. Can you do much with a credit card without that mag stripe?
Not typically, no. I mean, you can use it over the internet without the mag stripe, obviously, to be able to make those types of purchases. But the mag stripe's very valuable, but it's very easy with what they call a skimmer that can copy the mag stripe, you know, perfectly. So with the copy of the mag stripe off the skimmer, they're able to create a credit card that's every bit as credible in the electronic environment as the one you hold in your wallet.
So I want to talk about what's going to happen to these crooks and in general what happens when someone's ID is stolen, because according to the articles that I read on Credit.com and Identity Theft 911's website, this guy, he had a criminal background. He had prior fraud on his record, embezzlement, but he's out of jail. He's out of jail and apparently doing whatever he wants because he's having a good time impersonating other people. What can we expect this time? Is he likely to see jail time?
Well, I don't know. Is Lindsay Lohan going to jail? I hesitate to speculate on the on where the criminal justice system will go. I would say there's a better chance this time because he's caught dead with the goods. He's caught with a number of different identity documents. There is both federal and state criminal laws that he will be able to be prosecuted under. So I think, this could be his undoing from that standpoint. All that being said, the prisons are overcrowded, the law enforcement and prosecutorial resources are stretched, and, there just might not be enough room to catalog this guy.
Well, and generally, Brian, what's the trend? I've heard from people who have been victims of identity theft, and one of the things that they found extraordinarily frustrating was they felt they weren't getting much attention from law enforcement, and even if someone managed to track down who was committing the crime, they didn't feel like they sort of got their day in court to talk about this crime and what it did to them. So what's the trend in terms of enforcement when it comes to identity theft victims?
Well, I think there isn't a law enforcement officer or a bank fraud practitioner out there that doesn't want to see these individuals behind bars and punished. The problem is in the societal realm, it's just difficult, when you're dealing with, murderers and everything else to sit there and say, well, if you only have a limited amount of resources, a limited amount of time, what are you going to go after? There's some, what we tend to find is the law enforcement groups will go after crimes where you're able to show that they're aggregated crimes, meaning they not only hit one individual, they've hit a number of individuals, and the financial harm that they've done and the reputational harm that they've done is significant.
We have just a couple more minutes, Brian. I want to quick ask you about the Sony PlayStation data breach. Well, last week, you and I talked in detail about data breaches, but this is all over the news. Millions of people affected. If you're a parent or you're someone who uses PlayStation, you're registered, what do you need to think about there?
Well, I think some of the key pieces with that is, understand PlayStation. That one comes right into our homes, and it impacts our family and, especially our kids. I think one of the first things to ask is make sure you don't have an account open. I know there are folks where they don't realize that some of these accounts may have been opened and may be getting charged, where one spouse might not have told the other one. So, number one, I think it's important immediately to change, as soon as you can get back into the sites, because the site, as late as late yesterday afternoon still wasn't up. But if you can get into the sites, change your user ID and passwords, first of all. If your credit card information, and there's still some question of whether or not that was exposed or not, if it's out there and you have any questions, alert your bank, let them know what the situation is. They can do what they call a mark and monitor on the cards that may be at risk, or they may choose to shut your account down and reissue you a new credit card. That may be premature until we understand whether or not the credit card information was actually exposed.
So as of right now, we don't know that the credit card information was exposed. It's simply right now we know personal identification, emails.
Date of birth.
Okay. And I suppose this is a great opportunity if you have kids who use the PlayStation or registered to talk to them about, email phishing and help them understand they shouldn't respond to emails coming in. Even if they look very official, they can sometimes be used, to do something that's not good.
Oh, absolutely. The other piece is for parents is a lot of folks don't realize what's in these gaming communities. They may protect against, some of the things like online predators and the nature, but they don't realize that those same avenues and instant messaging and all sorts of different things that, allow people to reach out on a 24/7 globally to right into your, living room on your TV through these gaming consoles. So I think it's important for parents to start taking a look at what's out there and, what potentially can go wrong.
Well, Brian, thanks for joining me again.
A pleasure. Take care.
I've been talking with Brian McGinley. He's with Identity Theft 911, and you can get more information at their website, IDT911.com, or at credit.com. And stay with me. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about financial planning. We're going to talk with a woman who has been dubbed the All-American Planner, financial planner, that is, because of her zealous mission to help make competent, objective financial advice accessible to all people. She's going to share financial planning strategies for everyone, even if you don't have a lot of money socked away. Talk Credit Radio is brought to you by Credit.com and by YouCanRefi.com. I'm Jerry Detweiler. Stay tuned. You've been listening to Talk Credit Radio. We're live every week and on the web 24/7 at talkcreditradio.com. Download episodes online or find our podcasts in the iTunes store. Just search for Talk Credit Radio. They're free. I'm Jerry Detweiler. Thanks for joining me.